Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man program here on Tuesday, the 2nd of May of 2023. I am your host tonight, the Miracle Man, coming to you live from here in Midland, Michigan, where I live. Where did you put my book, by the way? No, my other book. My Bible. Oh, nope, that one. Never mind, I got it. Sorry, just figuring something out. We've got it now, we're good, and we're live. And by the way, I want to thank you for tuning in, wherever you may be tuning in from today. And it's great to be with you, wherever you may be tuning in. And yes, there was a very big snowstorm up in the upper parts of Michigan today, some places as much as over 2 feet of snow on May 2nd. Really? Yet people on the woke left, they want to sit there and scream climate change. They want to sit there and scream climate change when you have a big, huge snowstorm up north here in Michigan on May the 2nd. About climate change, it has been much hotter. It has been much colder over the years. It's been much hotter. It's been much colder. It's always been changing over the years. It's always been changing. It'll continue to change as long as the earth goes on. It will continue to change over time. There will be changes. It goes in cycles. The carbon dioxide thing, and about the carbon dioxide thing, let me just give you a fact. Over the years, it's been even higher than what it is today. In like, I don't know, thousands of years ago or something, but it wasn't from cars, and I don't know what it was from, but nonetheless, it's just been confirmed. But giving you, you know, some facts, that's all, and it's been hotter, it's been colder, is what I will say about that. And we do find ourselves going to a more normal slash even a little bit above normal weather pattern for temperatures the very end of this week and the first couple days of next week. As like by next Tuesday, they are talking now about upper 70s, which is much better than the mid-40s that we had today. And for those people who might be all alarmed and be like, that's a 30-degree swing in 1 week. As far as daytime high. Sometimes it can vary. You know what's crazy, Cookie? People will find any excuse they can come up with to use the climate change thing.
Really?
Yes. They'll call a tornado hitting a certain place where they don't normally hit. They'll call it climate change. They'll complain. They'll say this. Oh, climate change. Climate change. Climate change. Climate change. We've had crazy weather in the past. Oh yes. The Dust Bowl in the 30s. Where were the people screaming climate change then? Where were they? I don't know. But to say, you know, it's just science. It's just weather. It varies time to time. And, you know, Some years you'll have more active tornado seasons than other years. We may never know why. So I'm going to say, and for those of you complaining about the allergies, well, first of all, I want to see you get healed of those allergies, of course, because I believe that God even heals allergies. He doesn't just deal with these other sicknesses and diseases like colds, flus, cancers, heart disease. I believe he can also heal us of allergies, and even allergies that maybe a mother may have developed when she was pregnant, because some people do have that. But the truth is God can heal those, even though we might have not seen those in our Bible. You know, I believe God heals people of those. And so, and if you're complaining about, you know, oh, it's allergy season, the pollen, and, you know, well, it is what it is, you know, but pray that God heal those allergies, because that way, there's people that can sometimes be sidelined all summer because they'll say their allergies always get to them. But nonetheless, it's great to be with you. And and as I was saying last night, I was at this great meeting in Illinois this past week with Brother Rambo, and there were powerful miracles that took place by the hand of God. And if you've been to a place over the years, it's God doing those miracles. It's God doing those miracles. Ultimately, and you know, someone else might have been praying the ultimate prayer, but the one doing the work is the Lord. It's the Lord doing that work. It's the Lord doing that miracle in those bodies and in those minds. I believe I'm going to be one of those miracles that take place, that my eyes will see again, that my natural eyes will see again. Think a part of what Phil Driscoll had said to me back in last September. He had told me that I see things that other people who can see with their natural eyes don't see by him. And I thought that was pretty cool. But I don't use that and sit there and say, oh, I'd rather stay blind. No, 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 I don't. My dad said he heard of someone who, Brother Rambo, said they wanted healed of certain things, but they wanted to keep their autism. And he's like, really? So when I hear people who have, you know, certain things, you know, that they're believing to be healed from, they want to be healed from all the infirmities, not just certain ones so they can keep one. I mean, that's just wild to me. I mean, the Jesus that I serve, the Jesus we read about in our Bible, the God, the Jesus I'm going to teach on tonight, based on the lame man that got healed in Acts chapter 3, he doesn't heal part way. He doesn't heal part way and say, that's it, that's all you get, I'm sorry, that's the best I can do for you. Do you know of a cookie that does, Cookie, do you know of a Jesus that does that, that only heals part way?
No way.
Yes, the Jesus that I know of, the Jesus that I serve, that it's the one that heals all the way. He heals all infirmity. It says he went forth doing good and healing all that were sick, and freeing all of those who were few that he decided on by casting lots, because back in that day, they'd cast lots for certain. Like other, the different people, might have cast lots, drew names. But he healed all who were sick. He didn't sit there and draw names. And much of the time, he didn't know the people's names necessarily right when they went up there. Like those blind men. He didn't necessarily know their names right at first glance to be able to say, here, Johnny, come up here. That wasn't like that. But the father knew, of course. And he went up there, and they'd go up there, and they'd, he'd come to them and they would be healed of those sicknesses and diseases. He played a clip. Dr. Rambo played a clip when I was there Thursday night of someone who had been healed of a demon, was making noises in his church on a Sunday, not a super long time ago. That demon was making noises and doing different things. And this person got freed of that demon and went to working for God. And because he showed that to us all because he wanted us to be able to see the proof. And I could hear the proof that, because it was making noise. But that person got delivered by the hand of God. Not by the hand of Rambo. It was by the hand of Jesus that happened. Drove out all kinds of demons. One person, he asks the person their name, and they say, Legion. Why? Because many demons, many. Not a couple, many. That man was freed from every last one of them. And so that miracle working power of God is just as real today as it ever was. Some people may wonder, where do you get the name Miracle Man from the show? Well, back at our humble beginnings, and they were very humble beginnings, mind you. Back when we first launched this, right before the first episode, me and Preacher Man, to me at the time he was still Sam Cottle at the time, but Preacher Man, we were gathered together in the Midland Mall food court, and he had told me, you know, what's a good, he asked me, you know, what's a good name for this? And I thought, you know, The Preacher and the Miracle Man is a great name for this. And he said, I love that. It was named that because, you know, I've seen many miracles in my life. He's still doing miracles now for me, and I know he'll continue to do miracles for me. And so that's why we came up with the name Miracle Man. And I want, and I'm believing for Jesus to do that miracle in your life, on your behalf, in your body, whatever it is that you're believing for him to do. And so that's why we called this the Miracle Man program. We believe in the miracle working power of Jesus Christ, who rose from the grave, who lives in us. That same power that raised Christ from the grave lived in me, that very same power. Amen, that very same power. Now, I want to remind you of a couple of quick things before I get into a couple of songs. First thing I want to remind you of is the book, Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life. It's the story of how great God has been for me. And it is honestly a great story. I love this story. And it's about God's greatness in my life. And I honestly, I would never be the same without him. I'll never be the same without him. Never. And I thank God for what he did on my behalf. And I know, though, that he will continue to move mightily on my behalf. And it's not something I have to think twice about. I just know that he is going to move. And I just know that if you read the book, it'll minister to you. It'll increase your faith. And you can go online to the website, riversofmiracles.com, to find out information about the book, Rivers of Miracles, and how it can be a blessing into your life, because I want it to be a blessing for you. The other thing I want to remind you about is about the PayPal. If this has been a blessing into your life, this program has, I pray it has been a blessing into your life. I've been doing this for 5.5 years, and I pray that it just continues to be a blessing for you. Then you can go online to paypal.com and you can, to the Miracle Man program, and I don't tell you what to give. That's between you and God. And you can choose that amount, and every time I get notification that someone's sown a seed, I pray over that seed, and I pray for God to bless it. I really do. It's not something I just sit there and take lightly. And I pray for him to, for the Lord to bless the seed for you on your behalf. And in the search bar, you can type in Rivers Shukla. Again, that is Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S. And the last name is Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. please keep in mind there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. Also, I would like for you to keep in mind that the first R in Rivers and then the S in Shukla, both of those are capitalized. So please keep that in your mind, if you would, please. And the verse I want to sow into your life is, you reap what you sow, because what you plant is what you grow. You reap what you sow. Soweth of the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he who soweth by the Spirit shall the Spirit reap good things. And I don't want corrupted. I don't want my family corrupted. I don't want my body corrupted. The blessing of the Most High on me. Not corruption. Amen. So now I want to sing. Couple songs, and then we will get into the word of the Lord. You know that came tonight. You know my heart. And you call me by name. I live to say, God, you reign. You paint the sky. You know my heart. And you call me by name. I live to say, God, you reign. God, you reign. God, you reign. Forever and ever. God, you reign. You part the sea. You move the mountains with the word that you say. My missile remains. God, you reign. God, you reign. God, you reign. Forever and ever. God, you reign. God, you reign. God, you reign. Forever and ever. God, you reign. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, you reign. God, you reign. Forever and ever. God, you reign. God, you reign. God, you reign. Forever and ever. God, you reign. God, you reign. God, you reign. Forever and ever. God, you reign. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can't go back to the beginning. Can't control what tomorrow will bring. But I know here in the middle, my soul, when your glory appears. I'm not enough. When you come, will you meet me here again? 'Cause all I want is what you are. Will you meet me here again? Not enough unless you come. Will you meet me here again? 'Cause all I want is what you are. Will you meet me here again? As I walk now through the shadow, in my weakness, your strength fills me in. Like I know here in the middle, in my weakness, your glory appears. I'm not enough unless you come. Will you meet me here again? 'Cause all I want is what you are. Will you meet me here again? Not enough unless you come. Will you meet me here again? 'Cause all I want is what you are. Will you meet me here again? Not for a minute was I forsaken. The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place. Come, Holy Spirit, pour out your presence. The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place. Not for a minute was I forsaken. The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place. Come, Holy Spirit, pour out your presence. The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place. Not for a minute Was I forsaken? The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place. Come, Holy Spirit, dry bones awaken. The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place. Not enough unless you come. Will you meet me here again? 'Cause all I want is what you are. Will you meet me here again? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I know a tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Oh, I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, and you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us, you are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. Yes, you are. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us, love so unexplainable, I can hardly speak. Peace so undeniable, I can hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still into love. Love, love, you're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are loved by you. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are so good to us. You are an awesome God. Thank you, Jesus, for what you are to us, who you are to us, for what you're doing in us right there, right here, right now. You know what we need. You know what we need. You are the great I am. Thank you, Master, for what you're doing for us, in us, through us, for us. For you know what it is that we have need of and what it is. Thank you for that, Jesus, for what you're doing in us, through us, for us, Master. And Master, I just know that you have our world in your hand. And if we just trust you. And I thank you, Master. You know what it is that we need. Like we sang about that you are going to do it. And thank you for every listener who has tuned in to the broadcast. Every one of them. You know what it is that they have need of. And I just know that you're meeting their needs for them right now. Strengthening their bodies, strengthening their minds, strengthening everything for them. Thank you for what it is that you're doing for them, as you know what it is that they need, even when they don't. And I thank you, Master, for that. Thank you for the time of your word, Master. Thank you that you are just moving on their behalf. That you're just, that as we study your word tonight, that you'll reveal things to us and to every listener that is tuned into this broadcast, and that they will receive everything that you have for them, because you know what they need, even when I don't. And I thank you for that. And fashion over this program, say that sponsors and partners come into this program, that finances will come into this program, that increases in listenership will come to this program, that most important of all, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this radio program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. If you got your Bible, I want you to turn with me, please, to the book of Acts 3. Hallelujah. Acts 3. where we're going to begin kind of the word tonight. Acts. Just getting there myself. I'm there. And if you beat me, oh well. If you're tied, good. If you got there after I did, then, well, I'm there. You lost. As I said, we're going to be talking about, you know, about that lame man who was healed. I'm going to begin with verse 1. One day, Peter and John were going to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon, which is the ninth hour. A man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going in to the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John, them for money, he asked for alms. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave him his attention, expecting to get some alms from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly an ankle bone became strong. He jumped to his feet, and he began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, limping, whimpering, and saying, "Help, help, help." Oh, isn't that what it says? Not what it says. I'm sorry. I caught you off guard. Try this again. He jumped to his feet and he began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking, leaping, and praising God. My version says jumping. I like to say leaping also, though. Walking, jumping, praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what they had and what had happened to him. The joy Peter talks to those who were looking on, like those people who were there witnessing it, watching it. Verse 11. Let's see what they were doing. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Stare at us as if by our own power or our godliness we had made this man walk. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant, Jesus. You handed him to be killed, stoned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you instead. You killed the author of light, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. In the name of Jesus, by faith, in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him. As you can all see, now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that this Christ would suffer. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ whom has been appointed for you. Even Jesus, he must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything just as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. And Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from among his people. Indeed, all the prophets from Samuel on, as many as have spoken, foretold these days. And you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed. When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you from your wicked ways. So you see here, let's see the start of chapter 4 just to see. The priest and the captain of the temple guard and this Peter and John, while they were speaking to the people, and they were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John. Because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. Many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. Today, the rulers, elders, teachers of the law, men in Jerusalem, that's the high priest was there, there was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other of the high priest's family. Okay, well, cut it off there. See here. So, you know, Peter and John are on their way up to the temple. They're up there to do something. Pray. They're up there on their way to prayer. While they're on their way to prayer, they see that man sitting there at the gate begging. He had his hands out thinking, you know, he's going to get something from them, thinking he's going to get his little handout that he sometimes would get from people. And he was thinking, yeah, you know, I need money. these people, those people before him who were coming, you know, before Peter and John came, these people were essentially enabling him. They were enabling him to just stay as he was. They would just give him money. They would just give him alms. Oh, yeah, you're fine the way you are. You're fine, Lane. You're fine, you know, can't walk, but, you know, I don't know if some of them felt sorry for him. I don't know, but they didn't have the Holy Spirit to give him. And John come up to him, and they do something miraculous. You know, he thinks, you know, yeah, I'm going to get some money. I got the jackpot. Yay. But he got something even better. Because Peter and John both said there, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Rise up and walk. Peter and John helped lift him up. And immediately, the man's feet and ankle bones become strong. Been able to walk before. And it wasn't like now where they have wheelchairs so that he could, you know, be going from place to place in his wheelchair. And so he, So they end up, you know, helping him up to his feet because he's never walked in his life. So obviously, you know, he needs to be able to get his bearings and, like, learn how to walk the right way. So they're helping him walk. They're going into the temple. This man walking, leaping, praising God. I'm sure Peter and John are helping him do it. Because obviously they have to train him a little bit, help him a little bit to walk. And so he's in there walking, leaping, praising God, praising God. And all these people are all amazed. They're amazed at what they had seen. And some of them act all surprised. They're like, what? What? Like, you haven't seen this before? You don't know what this even is? People are telling them, yeah, that's the man that used to sit out there daily begging for alms. He was just sitting out there asking for money, for alms. And then they see him healed. And I'm sure some of them think, you know, this is awesome. But others are sitting there going, like, what on earth is this? And he's having to explain to them. He's having to sit there and explain to them. It's through the power of Jesus, the one who some of you helped have you know, crucified on a cross. And decided that he should be crucified instead of be let go. Because after all, the plan was that Pilate was going to let them go. That was the plan. Pilate was going to let him go. But we know that had that happened, that prophecy wouldn't have been fulfilled, the one that said that he would die and be raised again. So, you know, that's about that. So, but then, you see, then Peter, and he was all teaching them, and he's like, you know, some of you folks decided to disown Jesus. Peter and John were like that. You know, Peter himself had denied Jesus, but then he repented. He fully repented to God and was let back on. You know, he was, because he had repented to God for what he had done to all those people. You know, what he had done to Jesus. But, and then he's, you know, telling them all this stuff about Jesus. And they're like, this is proof, you know, that miracles still happen. And, now, it was Jesus who did that miracle. But he used Peter and John, you know, and obviously they were guided by God on how they should go about dealing with that. Because ultimately they were going in there to pray. It wasn't like Peter or John said, healing line, anyone who wants to get healed, come on up here. I don't see proof anywhere in there where Peter and John called out, healing line, anyone who wants to get healed, come up here. Do you see proof where they did that? I don't. They see he's suffering. They could have just said, no, I'm sorry. We don't have any money to give you. We don't have no money, but we're in a hurry. We got to go pray in there. We got to go pray. It's time to pray. Can minister to him. And I'm sure they took a few minutes first to talk to him and see, you know, if he knows Jesus. Don't you imagine they took a few minutes first? I'm sure they did. Don't you imagine, Cookie, they just took a few minutes first to kind of talk to him?
Probably.
I imagine they took a few minutes. I imagine it wasn't just in the name. I imagine they, you know, asked him a few questions like, you know, do you know about Jesus? Do you know, you know, and like ask him about his life and what have you. Because I would think at least that they would, well, it doesn't give the full account in there, but you know, they want to ask him, you know, like, how long have you been, you know, dealing with this, you know, and it turns out, you know, from birth that he had never walked. And then they help him up. His feet and ankle bones become strong. He had never used those muscles in his life. He had never used them. He could not use them because they had been paralyzed. He could not use those muscles. But those muscles became strong, strengthened those muscles. And, you know, he used Peter and John, who were there, who were en route to prayer. And he used them to minister to that man who was lame, that man who had been sitting there asking for money, who had been sitting there like, just come on, give me some change, you know, to fill my cup. Just another day. But they give him something much better than just, you know, a little money. They give him, you know, God gave him healing, because that miracle-working power of God was made manifest in that man's life. Right then, right there. And so many people are amazed. I'm sure some of those people in that temple, you know, a lot of those people in that temple, you know, I'm sure they were shouting. I'm sure they were happy about what they had seen. And then he said, you know, some people were looking all surprised, but then I'm sure there were others who were in there who were still amazed and happy, as they should be, and not just be taking that for granted. Because let me tell you something. When you see someone who's been lame from birth, who's never walked a day in their life, and they get healed, and they begin to walk and jump and praise God like that, that's a big deal. That ain't no little thing. So whether they're surprised or not, they should at least be getting excited and not just be taking it for granted as though just another miracle. Because that's a big miracle. You know, when you see, you know, people who have been in a wheelchair and then they come out of that wheelchair. Now, of course, in that day, they did not have wheelchairs. He was just sitting there on the side of the road begging. He had been sat there every day, kind of like how in some cities, you know, you'll be in the city, and you may see panhandlers. They'll be asking for money and what have you. But then and some of you may sit there, you know, with sickness and disease in your body, and some of you might sit there and say, well, I don't feel healed, I feel sick. I got news for you. God's not about your we're sick. God's about your am sick. God's about your we're healed. You were healed, not your am sick. God came to heal us, not to make us stay sick, stay bound, stay oppressed, depressed, suppressed. And as you get on to the fourth chapter and some chapters thereafter, there were Sanhedrin people there. There were people there that wanted Peter and John not to speak anymore in the name of Jesus. They didn't want them speaking by the name of Jesus. They jailed Peter and John. Jailed them. Until the next day. Jailed them because, you know, they had, you know, someone healed. Because they had spoken in the name of Jesus. And the Sadducees were there trying to cause a stir. And you know something? Those Sadducees, they were always so sad, you see. They were never happy. I don't know if some of those Sadducees ever had a happy moment in their life. Why do I doubt they did? I doubt they ever were happy. Otherwise, why would they be called Sadducees? They're so sad. You see, some of those people might have sat there and I could see what some might think, oh, Peter and John are awesome. Peter and John healed this man. Welp, it was Jesus who ultimately did the miracle, performed the miracle, but he used Peter and John. Peter and John were obedient. Because they had told him, you know, get up and walk, using the name of Jesus, of course, and they helped him to his feet. And I'm sure for a tiny second, they're like, oh, how are we going to get them? Because they're, I'm sure they both got him. They both got this guy. And the reason I was making that noise is because I was like, you know, they're trying to get him up. They're trying to lift up a fully grown man, which isn't exactly easy. And like I said, he had never walked. So, you know, they had to help him. God helped him. God used them to help him to walk. And that was what ended up happening. God used them. And they said it was by faith in Jesus that he was able to be healed. Faith. Faith. I love it. Those different times in the Gospels where Jesus tells people, your faith has healed you. Your faith has healed you. Your faith has healed you. I wasn't saying that to be Mr. Repeat like that. I was saying that because that was what Jesus told them. Your faith has healed you. Your body has been healed as you have walked through faith in me. That's what he's telling them. That's exactly what he's telling them. And he is pleased, you know, with them. And so you know what happened was Peter and John were in that right place at the right time. They see that man sitting there begging and decide not to ignore him. They decide you can minister to him. And they and he gets healed. That man who had previously been lame, but then began to walk. And then he talks to those people, all those different people who are there, about like how they had treated God, Jesus. And some of them had not treated Jesus well. Because some of them, people, those people that he was talking to, were some of the ones who would have helped, you know, who had said to let Barabbas go free instead of Jesus. But then, you know, so many of those people were amazed at what they had seen. So many of the people that were there, because and obviously they felt led by God to do that. And you see, the book of Acts is essentially like the start of the church, like the church as we know it today. God was moving. Things were happening through the power of God. In the previous chapter, chapter 2, you know, you have that sound that comes like that of a blowing wind, and it fills the whole place where they're sitting. Not one room, not two rooms, not three rooms, the whole place, the whole house where they're sitting with all 120 people of those people. And all those people began to speak in new tongues. And tongues of fire rested on them. And of course, so that's just, you know, this is what you saw there, what we read tonight. That is Book of Acts stuff. And that's still happening today. People are still being healed. People are still, being delivered. Blind people are still receiving their sight. Lame people are still walking. And deaf people are still hearing. Dead people are still being raised from the dead. Infallible proof. Jesus was the same yesterday, today, and forever. When you're going through stuff, call out to him. He has the answer you're looking for. He really does. He really does. And I thank him for it. Thank you, Jesus, for this word tonight. I pray that we would get this word in our hearts, that we would always have that faith, that we would always just have that close relationship with you, Jesus, and that we would never take miracles that take place for granted. That we would always realize, you know, when these miracles happen, like when people who have been lame from birth and begin to walk, that is a big thing. And that someone who has been dealing with that for a long time has gotten that miracle that they've been believing for. And I thank you, Jesus, for that. That you are our healer. You're healing our body now. Those of us who need a healing, you're healing our bodies right now. And I thank you, Master, for that in Jesus' name. Amen. And until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody.
Follow the water ring.
Hang on, I'll just end the episode.